2 weeks ago, I said I was going to try and enjoy playing in a top 100 event. But the truth is, it wasn't nearly as straightforward as I hoped it would be. Because even though I went in with good intentions, simple habits, and a completely different mindset, it didn't take long for some very familiar thoughts and feelings to show up. Pressure, frustration, comparison, expectation. And what I realized during the round is that golf doesn't just magically become more enjoyable because you want it to be or will it to be. You have to start noticing the patterns that shape your experience of the game in the first place. Hello and welcome back to another episode with me, Chris Lynch, your founder and head coach here at Golf Yourself Happy. In today's episode, I will be debriefing on my participation in a NCG Top 100s Tour event at Royal North Devon a couple of weeks ago and previewing my participation in another one of the Top 100s events through the NCG Tour today at Edgbaston. But before I do that, I want to tell you about the free 5-day reset, which is a collection of calm reflections and small experiments that I genuinely believe can change how the game feels to play for you. It is a short series of daily emails which are designed to help you, the everyday golfer, to notice the habits, the pressures, the thought patterns that often make golf feel heavier than it really needs to be. It's nothing intense, nothing overwhelming or overburdening, I promise. It's a way of checking out and tasting my coaching style and philosophy. So if that sounds like something you'd be interested in, the link for that is in the show notes. All it requires is for you to sign up to our newsletter and straight away you will receive the first email on habits in your inbox. But without any further ado, let's firstly unpack the event at Royal North Devon a couple of weeks ago. Okay, so first things first, you know, I feel that as a coach myself, as a golf coach specializing in the emotional and mental side of the game, I have to practice what I preach when I work with golfers like yourselves. So when I released my last podcast and was previewing the participation at Royal North Devon, I said that the very actionable things I was committing to doing in that round of golf were around two simple habits. One was to pause and take a breath before every shot to bring myself into the present. And then secondly, after the shot was hit, and then as I moved on to the next one, and then for every other one subsequently in the round, was not to immediately judge that shot, good or bad. Now, I would say that the second one of those was definitely more of a challenge for me than the first one was. If I skip to what happened on the first tee shots, because this is really for me where the rubber hits the road, I, let's just say, allowed all three of my playing partners to tee off before me. Would you believe it? Obviously, lo and behold, all three of them crack their tee shots up the middle, and that just adds to the already heightened sense of nerves and anxiety that I always have generally on the first tee. In any given situation, but definitely when I'm playing in a competition, because just as a reminder, these events are individual Stableford events in which you can, you know, you are scoring for points, but also there is a gross score prize as well. So with various prizes on offer, like I've said before, vouchers being handed out for first, second and third, nearest the pin, etc., etc. So, you know, the very fact that these are competitive events in nature, whether you like it or not, whether I like it or not, creates a certain natural pressure and level of expectation in my own head. So I proceeded to, you know, get the driver out, and I guess if I look back in it, yes, I mean, my habits of pause, take a breath beforehand and don't judge the shot, they were very much foremost in my mind. Habit one, I could achieve. Habit two, well, put it this way, I pulled it left off the tee with the driver. When I got up to the ball, my playing partner found it, sat down in these really thick reeds. I then had to take a unplayable, pulled it back to hit three. I then proceeded to top my next shot, let go an expletive out loud, something along the lines of, I'm a golfer. And then, yeah, so basically, suffice it to say, habit number two was boom, out the window, quicker than you could yell four. So anyway, that was... that wasn't so great. And then I proceeded to NR, no score, Mr. Blobby on the first hole, which wasn't ideal. But then I suppose where my habits were able to bring me back into the present and then did help me onto the second hole was I just let that one go. I made a point of, you know, so then on the next hole, on the second, I changed up the club on the first tee. I took my, I think it was either my three or my four hybrid, which I can rely on to get a decent way up the fairway and still give myself not a ridiculously long approach shot in. And it's reliable under pressure, or tends to be. So yeah, that was great. Second hole, managed to get some points on the board, and I'm thinking, I'm off to the races here. That settled me down. If I skip forward to the seventh hole, this is a point at which the winds really start to pick up. These were 40 mile an hour plus winds. If you've ever played in conditions like that before, then you will know that that does all sorts of things to your mind, and it does all sorts of things to the ball flight, to the general difficulty level of playing generally. Okay, so I went on a stretch in the middle six holes of blobbing, not scoring points. And, you know, I look back at it now and I really came out of my habits. I came out of my process. And one of the main things that was coming up in my head was worrying about embarrassing myself, because I went to score. I was naturally gravitating towards score because I was thinking to myself, I was visualizing the scoreboard, the leaderboard, and thinking, if I've just gone for a stretch of six holes, okay, scoring nothing, and I'm approaching the 13th hole with only six holes left, and I've scored a small handful of points in the first six holes, I could be rock bottom here. I could be bottom of that leaderboard, and that would be so embarrassing. And I would probably end up wanting to cancel my participation in future events. I'd have to come on this podcast and embarrass myself in front of you. I was spiraling, okay? But an amazing thing happened on the 12th hole that jolted me into action and would go on to completely transform the last six holes of my round. One of the hardest things in golf is accepting that you don't get to control the environment that you play in. You don't control the weather, you don't control your swing that turns up on the day, and you definitely do not control the people that you get paired up with. And that I really felt around the 12th and 13th holes at Royal North Devon, because one of my playing partners had this constant running commentary going all day. Little judgments, little comments, little reactions, which were not necessarily malicious, but enough that I could feel myself becoming emotionally affected by it. And in that moment, I realized something extremely important. Golf constantly presents you with things that are outside of your control. The question is whether you allow those things to derail you or whether you can learn to stop fighting with the fact that they are there. So I'm going to unpack this a bit more. There was a flash point on the 12th hole where I could probably see it coming, if I'm being honest, because, you know, this is after two things have generally happened. One, he had been providing commentary on every single time either me or my playing partners hit their tee shots. He would be tracking where the ball went and saying, oh, that's gone here, or you might have lost that, or it might be OB. And that was a bit off-putting. Not sure he meant it like that, and maybe wasn't even aware that's the effect it was having. But the flashpoint came where at the 12th tee, by which point, like I say, this is now would turn out to be the sixth consecutive no score hole in a row for me, I hit a squiffy tee shot and he comes straight in. Now, bear in mind, my producer is filming this the whole time. He comes into shot. He comes right up to me on the tee box after I've literally just hit it and stands next to me and goes, "You came right up out of that one." Yeah, you came right up out of it. Didn't commit to that. It's just gone way right. The red mist descended on me at that point and I'd had enough. And I said, "Don't do that. Stop. Don't do that." Yeah, I mean, I'm thinking about it again now. It caused tension. And there was a tension in the air within our four ball for the remainder of that hole. But then this amazing thing happened, right? So again, I had to come back into the present and remind myself, Chris, what are you here for today? You said you would come here and seek to enjoy yourself today. And somehow what I realized in that moment was that interaction with my playing partner did something to me mentally where it caused me to lock in, reset, and it actually served to galvanize me to the extent that I went on a subsequent run of five holes for between holes 13 and 17 of scoring points on all of those holes. And in some respects, it may sound weird, but I'm quite grateful for that flashpoint, because him doing that triggered off something in me that allowed me to actually come back to the present and actually have a word with myself and say, am I going to carry this with me for the rest of the round and allow what is already a challenging round to descend into further chaos mentally? Or am I actually going to use this opportunity that's being presented to me to reset, to think about what I care about, what I value in that round of golf, and how I wish to behave and show up? So actually, I'm quite proud of the way I stood my ground, made it clear to my playing partner that I didn't like what he had done. Fair play to him. He actually apologized straight away and I think realized what he had done. And within the space of a hole or two later, we'd kind of, figuratively speaking, kissed and made up and put it behind us. But that mental reset that I allowed myself and that I actually committed to then transformed my round, because on the very next tee, on the 13th, I just let go of all the pressure upon myself and I just sort of consciously, I suppose, decided that no, I'm coming back to this deliberate focus on enjoyment. And ultimately, at the very end of the round, when I came up the 18th and I sat down with my producer and I stared into the camera and I recorded my reflections, he asked me, "Did you enjoy it, Chris? Did you meet your objective?" And the simple answer was yes. And the reason that I said yes was because I had a process, I had a plan, and although I didn't perfectly follow it on the day, I did it to the best of my ability. And in the past, there has been a total absence of a game plan for me, which would have meant that these types of situations would have totally derailed me. I would have finished my round questioning myself, my abilities, reasons why I play golf, and considering jacking it in altogether. But I'm delighted to say I am not. I am coming back valiantly to fight another day. And let's go now to previewing my participation today on Wednesday the 13th of May at Edgbaston in my latest NCG Top 100s event. Now, as I look ahead to today's round at Edgbaston, I find myself reflecting on what I committed to doing at Royal North Devon, what parts of that I can carry forward and rinse and repeat today, as well as maybe some adjustments, some new habits that I can bring in. I've written a few things down in my little notepad here. So I think I want to be in the habit of positive talk is what I've written down here. So let me explain. At Royal North Devon, I find myself regularly turning around to my playing partners and being like, "Oh, it's brutal, isn't it? You know, this wind is so bad, so harsh, etc." I want to see if I can avoid weather chat. British weather chat off limits entirely, because in the science of habits, One of the people that I subscribe to and absolutely adore his work is James Clear. So you might have heard of the book Atomic Habits. If you haven't read it, by the way, you should. It's an amazing book and has influenced my own work in habits in golf. He has this expression which basically goes, negativity compounds negativity and positivity compounds positivity. So what I want to try and do instead is practice the habit of, instead of saying, oh, it's really cold today or the weather's rubbish, oh, how nice was that golf hole? You know, like, look at the layout of that, or, you know, just pick something positive, which is sincerely positive. I want to find reasons to be joyful and channel that rather than indulge in negativity, which I can have a bit of a bias towards sometimes. And linked to that, I've written down being a chatty and not a toughy. Going some time back now, when this podcast used to be called Golf Yourself Healthy, I interviewed a guy called Dr. Ian Peake. Now, Dr. Ian Peake is a master PGA professional. That is a credential and a certification that is only bestowed on the most experienced and highly reputed golf coaches in the world, actually, for that matter. And Ian has done a PhD in mental health in golf, actually. And this was specifically looking at tour professionals, but it applies equally to us everyday recreational golfers, which is how you conduct yourself with your playing partners when you're playing in competitive rounds, which is, do you chat like a Padraig Harrington? You get your nervous energy out by just chatting and having a laugh with your playing partners? Or are you a toughie? Are you like a Patrick Reed or a Tiger Woods who gives nothing but poker face and gives next to nothing away to their playing partners? I'm in the former camp. I am a chatty. And essentially what I'm saying here is I'm being true to myself in this round of golf by showing up in a way that is authentically me. Me trying to be mentally tough by not being outgoing and chatty and friendly, it goes against the grain for me. And then I think also, you know, I've talked about acceptance. The experience at Royal North Devon has shown me that I cannot control the behaviours, the actions, and the words that come out of the mouth of my playing partners. So what I can control, however, is how I react to those things. And you know what? I think I'm going to stay and continue with this theme and objective goal of enjoyment. And, you know, I'm honest here. I'm standing here right now speaking to this mic and I'm going, again, it feels a little bit abstract. I don't exactly know how I'm going to enjoy it, other than as simple as saying, I have a plan. And the only way I'm going to be able to measure that enjoyment afterwards, I think, is to see the extent to which I have executed that plan and whether I've wavered from it at any points and the lessons that I can learn. So I'm going to leave it at that. Come back here in 2 weeks' time to find out how it went at Edgbaston and do a overall wrap-up on this short series. But until the next time, folks, wish me well, meantime, and remember, it's all about happiness first and handicap later.